This is the Social Media Church Podcast, episode 86. My name is DJ Chuang, your host for the Social Media Church Podcast. And on this episode, I want to open with a word of prayer for our friend, Neil Smith, who's been with us twice on the Social Media Church. And he's recently been diagnosed with a neurological disease called Miller-Fisher syndrome. So he is going to be in treatment for some time, and the symptoms may take up to 6 months to go away. So let's pray for him and his treatment and healing. Heavenly Father, thank you for our friend Neil Smith. Thank you for all that he is to you, how you've created him to love him, and thank you for his passion and desire to see online ministries flourish through internet campuses, through social media, through his blogging, his personal ministry on the ground as well. And we pray for him and his family. We pray for Community Bible Church in San Antonio and his community there, that he would be encouraged, that his spirit would be lifted, and that he would be comforted by you, and you would give him the strength, and most of all, you would give him the healing for his body, so that he may continue to serve you well, and to love you, and to love others in his life. We pray your blessing on the Smiths, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for joining me in that little prayer, and I'll add a link in the show notes that you can also drop a line to him on Twitter or Facebook and let him know that you are thinking of him too. And today's episode, we tackle the big question about Facebook with a repeat visitor named Jason Kasten, having been here on the Social Media Church Podcast back in episode number 13. And we are having him here again because we want to tackle the big question about Facebook. Facebook continuously gives us changes unexpectedly, once every couple months, sometimes a little bit more frequent than that. So how in the world do you keep up with all those changes and make the most of your Facebook engagement with your fans, with your likes, and with people not only in your church, but also in the community and around the world? So hang on to your seats. Here is my conversation with Jason Kasten about Facebook. Today I'm joined with Jason Kasten of the iChurchMethod.com. He's written a couple of volumes and has rolled out a number of great training courses to help churches and ministries and any organization for that matter use social media effectively, and gives you a step-by-step process. But today we want to talk about Facebook. He's also authored a book about getting a million fans or likes on a Facebook page. What is the exact title there, Jason?
The exact title is How to Get 1 Million Social Media Fans. So that came from an organization I work with, the Potter's House of Dallas, TD Jakes Ministries. We reached 1 million Facebook fans in October 2012, and then we reached 1 million Twitter followers the following year, and also got another 1 million on Facebook. So I took the strategies we used and put it all into a book that was just geared towards social media, instead of just like with the iChurch Method that has quite a few different focuses. But I just want to do a social media book and just talk about that.
Yeah, and there are so many social media channels, and the biggest one currently is Facebook with over 1.2 billion monthly active users. And we want to spend the time on this episode really drilling down into Facebook and how it's evolved over time. So when you wrote the book and you were part of this ministry that reached over 1 million likes, what was your strategy in doing that?
Well, our strategy, we started off with a five-part strategy. Actually, it was four-part then, and we added a fifth part that I'm going to talk about later on. But the parts of our strategy was inspiration. We started off with just daily devotionals. When we started back in 2010 and we just had a Facebook fan page, the main thing we pushed out was just daily devotionals and interacted with people, but mainly the daily devotionals to start people's day off great and all that good stuff. Then the other part was information. is another part of our strategy where we just made sure that people who connected with us on Facebook were able to stay connected and get all the information that was going on with the ministry through that channel. And so no matter what, we basically brought the information to them because people are carrying around their mobile devices and connecting with Facebook from everywhere. And they felt like they were able to connect with their ministry or their church through that from those devices. And then the other another part was communication. Was part of our strategy. We made sure as many people as we could, we talked back to them. We didn't want them to reach out to us and talk to us through the to the ministry, and we didn't reach back. So of course, it was a lot easier when we had less fans. Now it's a little more difficult. And then the fourth part of our strategy was consistency, and that was where we made sure we continued to have a daily strategy of what we pushed out via our social networks, and mainly Facebook. But we made sure there was something coming every day, including Saturday and Sunday. Of course, we had our weekend services, and but we made sure there was content coming out on Saturdays when people usually weren't saying anything on Facebook or social media. And even on Sundays after services, we still was pushing out additional content. And so, and then the fifth part of our strategy, which we grew later on, was diversification. And that's where we started looking at other networks besides Facebook, because due to some of the things we're going to talk about today, and I won't jump ahead, but we diversified our social media strategy and included a lot of platforms.
Now, you worked with the T.D. Jakes Ministry and the Potter's House for how many years now?
About 4 years.
And 4 years of social media times is like 28 in dog years or something like that.
yeah. So it's a lifetime. Things have changed dramatically. It's probably since the last time I was on your show in what, 2011, I want to say? Yeah.
Just about 2 years ago, which is also about the time when Facebook IPO'd and became a publicly traded for-profit company. So yes. We're going to talk about the impact of that on social media strategy on Facebook. But before we dive into that, I did want to ask you a question about how does your church and ministry decide whether to have a separate page for your pastor and your church or to have it together?
Well, our church, we have a what would be considered more of a personality-driven church. A lot of people are introduced to our church via our pastor who they see on TV or movies or whatever, different conferences, a whole bunch of different channels. So they know the pastor before they know the church. And so with that, we started off with what was most visible, which was a page just for him or his ministries, T.D. Jakes Ministries. From there, after about, let's see, that was in 2010. So I'd say probably about 2012, we created a Facebook page that was just for the church. And the reason we did that, first and foremost, was due to the visibility. But secondly, the content we were pushing out was mainly for the international ministry and the stuff that was going on with the ministry. As the church started to really embrace social media, then we started creating the Facebook page for the church. But originally, when we started out for the ministry, our church wasn't on board with social media. It was just more so of a few people like myself who just said, okay, we need to get out here on social media, and we came up with a strategy for it, but we didn't have buy-in from it, I'd say the executive level or anything like that. We were kind of just doing what we felt was necessary. And and of course, we got the church and the leadership to notice once we were successful. So that's how we got more buy-in.
Boy, as you unpack that, that really makes sense. So you want to discern what is the right fit to engage with the audience that's known to the pastor and known to the church. Another question just popped in my head is, okay, you went from whatever number you started with, a couple hundred maybe, to a million. Was that a steady growth, or were there certain spikes?
Oh, there were spikes. Initially, we saw with the Facebook fan page, we started from zero. So initially, we had a few profile pages that had some stuff going on it, and then, you know, it would start and that would stop. But by the time I got there, we didn't have anything. We had a Twitter account that wasn't being used, and then we didn't have a Facebook fan page because nobody had knew the difference between profile pages and fan pages back then. So I started a fan page, and all I knew was I had a daily devotional calendar. And so that was the first initial spike when people started to see that the ministry is putting out content. I say that spike went to about, let's say, about 50,000, maybe 60,000, 70,000. Then we saw another spike as we started to add social media to church announcements and stuff that we saw, church marketing materials. We started to put social media on there. Hey, we're on Facebook. Then we saw another spike. And then we saw some of the other things, like on the TV show that we had and other things, we started to put social media on there. So as more departments or ministries started to buy into social media, they would start to add to their marketing materials that traditionally we were already using and say, hey, we're also on social media. And every time we would do that, you would see a spike until we just saw just it. I mean, once the snowball really got rolling, then it just went off and running. And the people, our fans, started to generate the spikes for us because someone would say, hey, you know, there was a great devotional today. We need you to, you know, and they would share it. And then that person would share it. And we just saw a whole bunch of sharing and exponential growth from sharing.
And one more question is, did you use advertising and how much?
No, we didn't start using advertising until a lot later on when we saw Facebook making changes. Then we saw the advertising came in. But initially, no, it was all organic growth. And we know how organic growth is going these days.
Wow, amazing. What a great segue. And so as Facebook is under the mandate to make money for its shareholders and it's going to pay for the whole infrastructure for a billion monthly active users, it's had to cut back content that shows up on a user's newsfeed, and that's definitely impacted not just users in general, but also Facebook pages. And changes come every 2 to 3 months or so, or sometimes more often. So how do you navigate all of that?
The best way to stay updated on how much Facebook changes is you got to stay in the blogs. I mean, to me, I subscribe to Facebook's blog. I subscribe to stuff like TechCrunch and Social Media Today and all that type of stuff. And that's how I stay updated on it, because really, from what I'm seeing, Facebook announces stuff, but their mentality is more, I mean, they're a team full of engineers and coders and geeks, kind of like Google. So they're not, they don't understand the user experience as much as, say, an Apple. So they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about making sure it works and the actual engineering infrastructure experience, and less about the actual basic user experience for the average person, because they don't think like average people because they're exceptionally brilliant. But therefore, they just change stuff and just think that it works, and they don't think about how it impacts the average soccer mom who just finally figured out how to, you know, a privacy setting, and now you change the whole interface, and now they don't know what to do again. They're totally confused and they get upset.
Yeah. So before these recent changes happened, how much of your posts on your Facebook page would get through to your audience? Like, let's just use the round number, 1 million fans. I think 2 years ago, about 20-25% of those fans that actually liked your page would see that content, but that number has gone down. What have you noticed?
I've noticed originally, and I could even go look at some stuff now, but for instance, we've had posts that would have reached 1 million people. I mean, that was normal for us. So if I go look and see what it is now, I'm seeing stuff like 500,000 and 675,000. That's how many people have actually seen it in their news feeds. Our likes, everything that we've seen as far as I would say has gone down about 25-40%. So we still get high engagement just off of the fact of just sheer numbers. We have a whole bunch of people. We have over 2 million likes on our Facebook fan page, so we still have high numbers with people sharing, but it's not what it was before. So therefore, we have to augment that with some of the other solutions that Facebook has, which is advertising and stuff like that. And we utilize that, and of course, different types of content. But just off giving pure numbers, we've seen drops of 25-40%.
Yeah, 25-40% drop. And overall, that's what's that overall? Like how many percentage would see it before, and then what percentage of your fan base see it now?
Oh, I would say, I would think usually off top, we probably saw like maybe 60% of our fan base would see it originally a post. And now, and we thought those numbers were great. They were huge. We consistently stayed around 30%, which I believe the average of Facebook was before they made changes was like 14%. We consistently saw 30. So, but for our high ranking posts, we would see upwards of 60%. And now it's more along the lines of, 40 or something like that. And not an average is more along the lines of 20. And it's continually the thing that we have that I've heard read on Facebook is high performing pages and high engagement pages. They're still giving favoritism to. So our edge rank is still staying somewhat high. it's not as high as it was. So we don't see the stuff that our church page sees, where they see significant more drops because they don't have a million. They have, I think, maybe like 30,000. And they're seeing much more significant drops. And then even like some of the other clients that I've had in churches I've worked with who have smaller pages, we'll say 1,200, they have can put post outs and nobody will see it. Like zero, literally zero. So, yeah.
Wow, that's dramatic. And timing of day makes a difference also. On top of edge rank and all kinds of other factors, there's probably 100 plus factors that go into whether your post gets shown onto a newsfeed or not. So what do you do? What are you free to talk about in terms of your strategy of developing your content and mapping out your ad strategy to keep your fans engaged and also to perhaps grow your fan base?
Okay, well, the original answer that I would hear a lot of social media experts say, and I would allude to it as well, was, you know, you need to make sure you have that visual content, and you want to make sure you have more engaging content, and you want to, you know, increase your engagement and stuff like that. And a lot of church will say, okay, that's great. What does that mean? So here's the thing. Here's what I suggest. Of course, I'm saying diversify your content, have, you know, daily devotionals, and it's just, we're talking about the church arena, daily devotional scriptures, those are always good ones to go with. Have some type of videos, use video clips of the sermons that have key points and stuff that resonates that the pastor said, stuff like that. Then also use photos, memes, and all that good stuff that show people doing ministry, prayer, and all that good stuff. But here's the thing. As we were talking about earlier, in 2011, Facebook IPO'd. So let's stop calling Facebook a social network per se and call it a for-profit business, because that's what it is. If you want to get on Facebook and you feel like you're going to have reach people for free, that train is starting to leave the station. Them days are over. So you have to look at promoted posts and targeted ads. Those are the things that you can utilize. Promoted posts is when you post something and you choose whether you want to target it to a specific type of person or something like that, and you put those demographic information in, or you just say, I have 1,000 fans on my page, I want to target those fans and the friends of those fans, and for say $5, they'll tell you, okay, 2,500 people will see this post, and then you'll see people starting to interact with it because it comes through their post as a sponsored highlighted post. Usually I do that with videos, because as they start playing in people's news feed, people are seeing it before the sound comes on. People are seeing that stuff and they're drawn towards that. And that's the type of stuff that we utilize, promoted posts and target. We also use targeted ads, which premiere in your newsfeed, because the newsfeed is the holy grail of Facebook. It's like their secret sauce is their newsfeed, their edge rank strategy and formula. So that type of stuff is what works best for us, but it's pay to play. Social media is going to continue to go and turn into a pay-to-play industry as it grows and as it matures. And so we're talking about Facebook now, but we can have the same conversation, and we will have the same conversation about Twitter. Pinterest is about to release promoted pins. Google Plus is getting ready to release, if they haven't already, their advertising inside of Google Plus, and their promoted posts and stuff like that that goes inside of Google Plus. And you know Google's going to come with it because they're an advertising company. But every network, social network, has to monetize. That's just the way it's going to go.
Yeah, we've mentioned EdgeRank a couple times. Can you explain EdgeRank to a novice person that doesn't know what it is?
Oh, yes. EdgeRank formula. Okay, so people, I'll relate it to Google's search engine or formula, how you get higher rankings in Google search engine. They call it SEO, search engine optimization. And they use a formula to rank you as far as who appears first when you search for something. Usually search for ESPN, ESPN.com is at the top. Then you see a couple more ESPN links, and then you see a blog talking about ESPN, et cetera. For Facebook, they have their newsfeed optimization, and you're trying to that's what they figure out what appears inside your newsfeed. So when you log in, you're scrolling down, and you're seeing a lot of the people you interact with a lot are people who share your views or people who like your stuff often. That's what appears in your newsfeed the most, as opposed to you have 1,000 friends on your Facebook page or 1,000 fans, and 750 of them you never hear from. That doesn't mean they don't log in. That just means they're not appearing in your newsfeed, because according to Facebook's edge rank, which is the name of their formula, those people are not ones you interact with, and they're trying to choose for you the most optimal people that you interact with to stay on their Facebook network the most so they can show you the most ads so they can make money off you, which, again, that's how the business works. Also, you know, I'm not going to get too political, but what I've noticed is during the political season, you know, obviously we saw some of the most heated exchange between friends who had differing political views. But what I noticed is if you paid attention to certain edge rank changes, people started to see people that they only agreed with in their news feeds, as opposed to seeing people with different political views. Because Facebook knows if you see a whole bunch of people with different political views, you'll get turned off from the network, as well as turned off from your friends. So they want to keep people who agree with you, because you start talking about your political views that you agree with, you stay on the network longer, they show you more ads, they make more money.
So that's all connected. Well, we have a lot of church leaders that are trying to learn how to use social media effectively and with these changes in Facebook. Talk a bit about how much content are you currently generating to keep your fans engaged. And then when you do pay to play, how much money do you put in connection with the goals and return that you're looking for?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, to talk about content, I would say every week churches generate a lot of content, whether they realize it or not. And if we just start from the most basic, smallest church, your pastor generating content usually every week with his sermon. So if you take that sermon and you if you record it via video, you can take it and cut it up into clips, whether it be as small as 6 seconds for Vine, 15 seconds for Instagram, or you show, I would say, 90 to 120 seconds on Facebook. That's people's attention span is about 2 minutes is really pushing it. But you have that type of content. I would say, again, daily devotionals, quotes from the sermon, scriptures and stuff like that. That's your text content. And then, of course, we got the photos of ministry actually happening. That's your photo content. So a typical day for us is start the morning off between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. Our time, Central Standard Time is where I'm at. We're putting out a daily devotional. Between 10 and noon, we're talking about some type of church information that's going on, whether it be a church event or something like that. Between noon and about 3, we're talking about some type of product that we might have, might be a book or something that's coming out. Between 3 and 6, that space is allotted for some type of church event. Again, we have a lot going on. We have a large ministry. 6 and 10. That's usually where we're looking at some type of multimedia post, whether it be a video. Usually we have a lot of YouTube videos we push on Facebook of our TV show or pastor's past previous sermons. And then 10, and that's the midnight shift. And we schedule all this out in Hootsuite. 10 and 7 the following morning, we're re-pushing out the daily devotional. This is for people who couldn't see it in the morning, or for our international audience who are over overseas, this is their morning for them. So we're pushing that out in our nighttime, but it's their morning, and they're starting their day off with a daily devotional. And that's a typical day for us in terms of content. So the second question. When you're talking about promoted posts and your ROI and stuff like that, now there's two ways to look at this. When you promote something for $5 or something like that, if it's a video, then you need to measure the engagement. So, and you're very, very familiar with this, DJ. We're looking at likes, shares, comments, and stuff like that. If you have a call to action in there, which if it's a product, you say, okay, if you want to get this product, click here, and they go to a page to buy it, then you can track all that as well with Google Analytics for social, and seeing where they came from and what network is doing the best for you. But the main thing you're looking for is social engagement. And Facebook tallies all this for you in their insights. It tells you how many people saw it, how many people clicked on it, how many people watched the video, interacted with it, how many shared it. That's what you're measuring. You're looking for those social measurements and seeing how you could turn that into dollars. And the way you turn it into dollars is you're developing a relationship, and then you get the call to action to send them to your site to purchase something, donate, support the ministry financially, however it is you want to do it. But initially, you look for social engagement, social analytics to measure all that, and then you get a call to action.
Cool, that's really helpful. And then you're pre-scheduling 6 to 7 pieces of content throughout the day, and you're connecting some of those to ads to give that extra boost. Actually, Facebook calls it boost. Yes. Yeah. Do you also do ads that are for other purposes, or do you just stick with content and deeper engagement?
Specific ads, and I'm glad you asked that because we do ads like for a conference. We have a conference coming up. We have a women's conference coming up in October, and right now we're putting together these are photo ads of the speakers that are going to be at the conference, and those, and from there we'll give a call to action to we might give a quote that goes above the photo or beneath the photo. That's something that that speaker has said that resonates. It talks about the theme of the conference. And there we say, if you want to register, click here. So that will appear in your news feed. That also appear on the right-hand side where some of the ads are that show up on Facebook. But Facebook is supposed to be phasing that out and putting all the ads in the news feed. So we'll see how that plays out. But those type of ads will appear. And we also might do video trailers that we pay for as well that will appear inside the news feed. And from there, it's all about the conference. When they click, they won't go to a Facebook fan page. It'll go straight to the conference website where they can register for this conference that's happening in October. So that's what we use, just specifically those type of ads. And that call to action is to go to that website and register for that conference.
Very cool. I have a couple more questions, and then we'll close out this conversation. Mm-hmm. So to generate 6 to 7 pieces of content and pre-schedule it, I mean, that could take a lot of elves and a lot of times. How much effort does it take to produce that content and get it scheduled? How many people are working on this? How many hours a week?
Okay, so now when you get to that point where you're generating 6 to 7 pieces of content a day, that's where you have a team. So let me jump backwards and say, originally we had one person working on social media for our entire ministry. That was myself. I took a calendar and I did it with that. From there, we moved to where we are now with our team. We have myself, we have two other people that are working on it, just other social media specialists. We have a writer who's a wordsmith, make sure all our stuff is grammatically correct, and he stays on top of us about that. So that's four people right there you got working on social media. And it's not just Facebook, it's all our platforms. You have we have a video person that works on that, as well as all of us know how to make videos, but we have video person for that. We have graphic artists. We have actually two of those, but one of them is usually dedicated to social media. And then we have another person. I can't think of what their role is, but that's about 7 people you have. So we started at 1, and as it grew, we added more people. But for what I would say for us, when we were just us beginning, it was just me beginning, and it was just one person doing it, I pushed out 3 pieces of content a day. A daily devotional in the morning, a daily devotional at night, and a YouTube video sometime in between there. And if it wasn't a YouTube video, then it was a link to either a product or some type of church event. So I only put things out 3 times a day when it was just me by myself. And I scheduled all that out in Hootsuite. And then I would go in and respond to people if it was for engagement, if they gave a comment or they asked a question for the ministry or something. Then I would go back in and talk to them. But other than that, I just scheduled out 3 things a day. And that was all I could do with the team we had.
Okay, that I can get my head around. One person doing social media, 7, that's a whole nother world, and you got to have a church that's in the 20 or 30,000 range. Not too many of those out there. Plenty of churches in the hundreds in our audience. Right. So one person doing social media, 3 pieces of content a day, how many hours would it take out of your day? Because I don't think that's full time, is it?
No, that's not full time, because keep in mind, I was hired to do websites. So I'm a web developer. I just happen to know how to do social media. So I said, hey, guys, let me do the social media stuff. And they were like, great, just whatever, keep you quiet. Just make sure you get those websites done and you can go do social media and whatever else in your downtime, your 20% time as Google has. But how long it took me per day? It was mainly on I mainly scheduled everything out on Sunday. So it probably took me about 2 hours on Sunday to schedule out the whole entire week. And then throughout the day, I mean, it would probably take me maybe 30 minutes to respond to everybody and talk to them. And that's from me just working on a website. Somebody says something, I'll stop real quick, go talk to them, and then go back to what I was doing. But it wasn't a extremely engaging thing that was taking up a lot of my time, because they were paying me to do websites.
Okay, so I think that's really helpful. That quantifies a good starting point of getting good social media engagement, that you need somebody with 4 to 5 hours a week to kind of draw that baseline, grow that engagement, and then go from there. That sound right?
Absolutely. The hardest part even wasn't finding the time. It was the content. I mean, DJ, I work with another church that has about 20,000 people, and their lack of ability to get content to the social media channels is just amazing. I mean, they generate a lot of content, but they just don't know how to translate it into social media. They're an older church, so they're used to doing things the way that they do it. So it's harder to get things to the social media channels. But, you know, that is the hardest part, that content piece. If you get that content piece down and get it to social media scheduled out, everything else flows a lot easier.
Yeah, the content translation piece is very much the bottleneck.
Yes,
and then,
absolutely.
And then you put time to it. Yeah, that's a critical missing link for people to get their head around, and you've explained it very, very well, and I hope our listeners are taking notes, getting rewind if they need to review exactly how to do it from the master of social media here at the High Church Method as well. And how about this? My last question. What's a healthy number in terms of response and conversion? So if you spend $100 on ads, reaching out whatever demographic you set up with, how many of those are, how many people percentage-wise would respond with social action, and how many would respond with a call to action?
Oh, I think you should look at it in terms of percentages, and I'm just going to go out and limb and guess as far as some of the results that I've seen. But I've seen a ministry do a campaign that was $1,000 that they invested in Facebook, and they got, I believe they got increased their Facebook fan page by about, I want to say 3,000 to 4,000 people. And it might have topped off at 5, but I'm thinking 3,000 to 4,000. So as far as the – and that's just like new likes to the page. As far as the shares and all that type of stuff, I didn't see a significant increase. What I saw people doing when they were developing this campaign was people liked whatever the ad was, but they didn't interact with it nearly as much. So was it successful? Yeah, the page grew significantly, and then they kept going, and I think they ended up – doing this for a long time and adding, you know, $5,000-$7,000 invested in Facebook and growing their page to about 50,000 people. But originally that first number was what they measured, about 3,000 to 4,000 people interacted and liked the page. But then they started changing the ads to more engagement, which would be more of a video ad with you know, and asking people actual questions in the video to increase engagement. But originally it was just a regular ad that that encouraged likes, and that got about 3,000 to 4,000 more likes off $1,000.
Okay, let's close with this. So when you go into the create an ad function, there's actually different kinds of ads for different purposes now. Facebook will actually say, do you want more likes? Or do you want people to respond to a call to action and click through to a website? Or do you want more comments, or you want more likes, or do you want more shares on a particular piece of content?
Yes.
Describe how each of those are used. Just give us a quick overview.
Oh, just a quick overview. Well, originally, yeah, they're asking you, do you want more likes? Because they're looking at basically what people lack is when they come in there and they're developing their ads is, what's the strategy? What's your goal? So the goal for the marketing person for this ministry I was working with, he wanted more likes. That was good to him. He can go in a meeting and say, we have a page that has 50,000 fans. That was huge for him. What I'm learning now is numbers are great. And even when I originally wrote the book, 1 Million Social Media Fans, numbers were great. But now you're drilling down to the engagement and developing that relationship. So when you're looking at other things, like you want to get more comments, more shares, and more engagement, and different things that Facebook drills down to, that's the key. And so that's what you're really looking forward to. 100 fans who are interacting and highly engaged with your brand, your church, your ministry, et cetera, is better than having 25,000 that don't respond. Here's a good point. Pepsi has, I think, I want to say 50 million Facebook fans, but their engagement is like 0.01%. So, and that's the thing. People, they don't connect and engage with the brand. They just like Pepsi because they see it everywhere. And some people are just addicted to the soda. They're not engaged with the brand. What the church has an opportunity to do, and which is exemplified by these ads, is the church has content, the gospel, that is highly engaging, and people already want to engage with it. They're just waiting for the church to present it in a way that will engage them. And that's the best part about the opportunity that the ministry has. And you know this, DJ, with technology and just social media in general is the people want the to interact with the church. They want to engage with the church, and they want to utilize these platforms with it. They just want the church to be able to reach them in a manner that they want to be reached. And so, and that's the opportunity that we have. And that's what Facebook has helped allowed us to do. Again, they're charging us for it now, but Facebook ads, you have to look at when you come in there and say, what is the goal? I would say first start off with, I want to increase engagement. I want highly motivated fanatics, I guess, for using a good term, through social media that will share, engage, and get other people involved in your online social media campaign for your ministry. Then you start looking at numbers, because people are going to look at your page and say, wow, you, if you have 50,000 people, man, what are y'all talking about? And they're going to want to jump in on the fun. So that's how you want to look at it.
Awesome. And the closing word, as Facebook continues to fine-tune its edge rank, where do you see happening?
Oh, man. What I see happening is the people are complaining about organic reach. There's a 1,000 articles out there about organic reach jumping down to zero. By going to organic reach, I mean when you post something on Facebook for free, you just want to post it out there, nobody's seeing it. Facebook is going to continue to become pay to play, but they're going to make it a lot easier for them to get your money. And by that, I mean right now, promote a post for $5. They're probably going to make it so that for that $5, it'll be more appealing to you. You'll reach more people. You'll get more engagement and stuff like that. But and then what they're going to do is once they get you in that funnel of being making it easy to pay and it's a second thought to you, then they're going to get recurring money from you. And that's what I see. And this is going to also come with a better impact for your ads, better increase and better engagement for your ads. And then people are going to be like, okay, well, $5 is great, just like Google Ads did. With their their network, for $5, you were just seeing like, man, I could reach a lot of people using Google, and so you kind of just did it, and then now you just give them a credit card, and they just keep taking money, and you don't realize at the end of the month, you're gonna spend $300 on ads, and that's just normal to you now, and that's what they're gonna do with Facebook, gonna make it normal to spend. Twitter's gonna do the same thing, normal to spend. Social media advertising is gonna become second nature, where it's just the cost of doing business. But you're going to see better, more measurable rates of returns than traditional stuff like TV, billboards and stuff like that, especially as social media gets integrated into other traditional platforms that we use. Second screen experience with TV, internet TV integrated with social media. Everything's going to be integrated with social media, wearable technology. Everything's going to have a social media layer to it. And that's just what it's going to be. And so therefore, you're going to have to reach people where they're at, wherever they're at, on any type of device, even devices we haven't even come up with today, DJ. It's going to have a social component to it, and you're going to be able to utilize these social media advertising channels to reach them, and it's going to be pay to play.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Jason Kasten, for joining me again on the Social Media Church Podcast, and we'll add links in the show notes so that you can connect with Jason too.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jason Kasten, for joining us here on the Social Media Church, and thank you for listening to this episode. And you can check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net to connect with Jason Kasten for some more details about the things that he has shared, as well as to check out the 3 or 4 resources that he has published and other things he's probably working on as we speak. And I certainly would love to hear from you through Twitter or Facebook, whichever you like, at socialmediachurch.net. You can click right on the Twitter button or the Facebook button. And if you happen to be in the car or on the commute and not driving, you can certainly text in your comment as well. The text in hotline is 949354-3216. The number again, 949354-3216. And then I can respond to you by texting or add your comments or question onto a future episode. And this brings us to the end of another episode of the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, we'll stay connected online.